Welcome to the Fruitful and Fearless podcast, where we're serving up gospel-fueled courage to the Christian woman to remain faithful in her calling. Hello, and welcome to the Fruitful and Fearless podcast. I am Jordan Sparks, and I'm here with Kate and Becky today. How's it going, guys? You guys doing all right?
Yeah. Is my stuff coming through okay? Because I said pretty good.
Yeah. Oh, no, I didn't hear anything. Maybe you just try to talk at the same time, and sometimes it kind of cuts out when you do that or something. I don't know. We're on Zoom, and we're really not that great at Zoom.
Yeah, it's not my favorite. But
better in person.
Yeah. Okay, I have an icebreaker, actually. I thought about this as I was eating my breakfast this morning. I was thinking I should ask people what they eat for breakfast, because for some reason, I don't always feel super inspired when it comes to breakfast meals. So what did you guys eat for breakfast today? And or what do you wish you ate for breakfast this morning? Or is there anything you've been wanting to make for breakfast this morning? Go.
Okay, so my kids really like making Dutch baby pancakes.
That's what I had for breakfast this morning.
Is it really?
Is that what you had?
No, that's not what we had. That's what I wish we had. But they really like that. And I like it too, because it's really easy to prep. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't matter how many times I make it. They're always super excited to watch it in the oven. Mm-hmm. And it's always thrilling when it comes out, because it's all big and fluffy. And then you put some powdered sugar on the top, and it's just super exciting. So I like that. What we actually had for breakfast this morning, it was a recipe that my sister introduced me to, I don't know, several years ago when we were watching her kids down in Texas. But it's called pizza eggs, and it doesn't sound good, but something about the flavors end up working. So you make eggs in the skillet, like just, I don't know all the egg terms. You just like crack them in the skillet and you cook them on one side, and then you flip them and cook them on the other side.
Over easy?
Yeah. Yeah. That sounds right. And then you put some mozzarella cheese on it and some pizza sauce or marinara sauce, and then you eat them like that. And something about the combination between the marinara and the mozzarella with the eggs, I don't know, it tastes good. And I'm currently gluten-free right now because of my endometriosis. I'm trying that to see if that helps things. And anytime my family has pizza, if I don't want to make gluten-free pizza crust, I've been making gluten-free pizza, obviously eggs are gluten-free, but I've been making pizza eggs, and it's a good alternative. So we have pizza eggs for breakfast.
Do you ever put like pepperonis on it or anything like that?
No.
Is that too weird? Okay.
I don't know. Probably not for my kids. They probably still eat it. I don't know how I'd feel about it, but the kids would probably be fine.
That sounds good. I'd like to try that. We had Dutch baby pancakes. We call it puff pancake in our house this morning for breakfast. And yeah, I like to prep those the night before. And I even get my cast iron skillet out and just sit it on the oven with I usually do like 6 tablespoons of butter in it and just have it all ready. So in the morning, all I have to do is pour my batter in the skillet. It's a very easy breakfast. And I usually do it with sausage links also. And I just pop it all in the oven at the same time.
Oh, you do? That's a good idea. Put some sausage or something with it.
It's actually a really high protein breakfast because it's got like 6 eggs in my recipe for Dutch baby pancakes. So it's like 6 eggs, a cup of milk, a cup of flour, 1/4 teaspoon of salt, and 1 teaspoon of vanilla. And that's all that's in mine.
I love that you had that right off the top of your head.
I've done it so many times.
Is that Anna's recipe?
I'm not really sure where it originally came from. Maybe my friend Margo, or maybe Shauna. I'm not sure. Okay. I learned about them at the same time from both of them. So I'm not really sure. But I've been wanting to make this breakfast that I saw on Instagram that is Greek yogurt, and you mix a little bit of cocoa powder, and I don't really remember what else. It depends on if you get like vanilla yogurt or just plain yogurt. Probably if it was plain, then you'd want to put some honey in it or something. And I feel like I'm going to say this word, cacao nibs. What is it again?
I think that's right, actually.
Okay. Yeah. I get self-conscious when I say that word.
You usually say cocoa.
Okay, there we go. I'm just self-conscious on which one's correct and which one's not. You put that on there too. And then you reduce down some frozen cherries. So you get like a cherry sauce and you put that over the top too. It's like a chocolate cherry Greek yogurt bowl. And that piqued my interest, but I haven't tried it yet.
One thing my kids like for breakfast is the smoothie bowls with homemade granola from Shauna's cookbook. Mm-hmm. So instead of putting the smoothie in a cup, you put it in a bowl. And for some reason, my kids eat it better if it's in a bowl. And then having that, the maple granola with it is really, really good. Yeah. What'd you have, Kate?
I've been eating egg sandwiches for weeks. So boring.
But if I don't eat a lot of protein right from the get-go, because I'm in my third trimester, I'm just super shaky and like I can't function. And I've just noticed things just don't go well if I don't have just straight protein pretty much in the morning. But since we're talking about all this, I'm thinking about all the things I could make. I last year, for some reason, I got on an overnight oats kick. Have you guys done that before?
Oh, yeah.
So I found this recipe and it had, they were like peanut butter, dark chocolate, sea salt overnight oats. And I was just addicted to those for a while. And now I'm thinking about them and I want to make them like right now.
Peanut butter, dark chocolate, sea salt.
Yes.
That
Like
sounds like.
you put a layer of, it was, you melted dark chocolate and peanut butter and drizzled sea salt over it, like halfway through your overnight oats. And then on the top, you did the same thing. And then you put them in the fridge, you know, to do their thing overnight. And then it had a nice, crusty peanut butter, dark chocolate, sea salt layer on top in the morning. So it's
Sounds
so
really
good.
good. And
I'll have to send the recipe.
you eat that cold, right? Like you don't warm that up.
Yeah,
Okay.
I didn't,
Okay.
which I thought initially would be kind of weird, but it wasn't for some reason. I don't know why.
Have a recipe, sorry. I have a recipe for butterscotch oatmeal, and it's like a stovetop oatmeal. That it's actually in the Fruitful and Fearless cookbook. I think it's Lexi's. And it's delicious. It's a delicious oatmeal. It
Can
has
you
egg
send
yolks
that to
in it.
me? Because I'm trying to get Audrey to like oatmeal because it's such an easy morning, you know, nourishing filling, and she's just not about it
I
right now.
understand. Yeah. My favorite breakfast to make is breakfast tacos, and I usually make those in bulk too. Every breakfast thing I try to make in bulk so I can eat it like for the week, basically. But the breakfast tacos, you just brown some sausage and scramble eggs and, you know, a little salt and pepper, and you just have those in a container, and then you put them on a tortilla shell with cheese on both sides and turn them over, you know? And then you make a sauce that is what makes it amazing. That's like a jalapeno, sour cream, cumin, cayenne pepper situation. And it's like a creamy taco sauce that you eat them with, and it's really, really good. That sounds good. Do you just make all the ingredients for breakfast tacos separately?
Nope. No, I actually, the last time I did this, I went ahead and made up all the breakfast tacos and then just had the sauce on the side.
Oh, okay.
And in the morning, all you had to do is warm them up.
Yeah, that's a good idea. I've done some of the make-ahead breakfast sandwiches before.
Yeah. I think you brought me some of those once whenever, I think it was with Oak.
Yes. Yeah, and I like those, but I usually have to make them in bulk, but that's nice for things like I'm prepping for homeschool. I think we're going to go back to school here in about 2 weeks. And so I'm prepping for our school year right now. And so that breakfast tacos would be a good addition. I usually do the make ahead breakfast sandwiches, things like that, just because we usually have to get. Kate, are you okay?
I'm good. I was messing with the end of my pen and the whole thing just like exploded.
It
Just
sounds
the look
like
on your
you spilled your
face.
drink everywhere.
And the look on your face seemed like something huge happened. Yeah, it was nothing huge. It was just very close to my face.
Funny.
Yeah. Those are all good ideas for breakfast. Okay, we're actually here to talk about hobbies. I feel like we all have quite a few hobbies. I have lots of hobbies and have had varying hobbies throughout the years. Some are on back burner, and then new hobbies arise whenever you have different seasons where, you know, like right now, I don't do as much sewing, although I did do some this morning. I don't do as much sewing at my sewing machine right now just because it's a little bit harder to do with little kids. But I do lots more gardening and cooking and baking because those things are easier to do with little kids. So we're here to talk today about what hobbies we have, how we got into them, and yeah, what we're currently on. So go for it. What are you guys up to? So I feel like I listed my practical hobbies and then I listed the things that aren't so practical. You know, there's two categories. And the not so practical one that kind of is practical for homemaking is thrifting, and that kind of encompasses a lot. So
I knew you were going to say that one, Kate.
yeah, it is a hobby. It has been kind of a curated hobby and has grown and ebbed and flowed depending on the season. So I used to thrift just for me when it was all about me. And then, you know, when I became a mom, now it's more fun to thrift for all the things that like my kiddo needs and thrifting toys instead of buying them brand new and just trying to find.
I think there's a lot of thrill in waiting and praying for things and just being content with what you have. And so I've really tried to work on that and prayed about that a lot, because it's easy when you're thrifting to just grab things because they're cheap. And so it's kind of a sanctifying hobby and something you have to like rein in and you feel convicted about, or I have in different seasons of like, okay, well, you know, making sure I'm not just bringing things into our home because it's cheap and it might be needed someday. But it's fun and I think thrilling to find something you've been looking for way less money.
Yeah.
One thing that we started doing with the kids, well, Brandon doesn't typically go thrifting with us. That's like a once in a blue moon. It's usually me and the kids. But when we go thrifting, I usually have kind of a little list of like, these are the things that we need that I want to keep an eye out for. And before we leave the house, we'll pray and ask the Lord for those specific things. And then if we happen to find those, which usually I go with an idea of like, okay, we need these like 3 to 5 things, you know, and usually we find at least 2 or 3 of them. And there was one time we were in this little hole in the wall thrift store a couple towns over, and we had prayed for a few things. And one of them was one of those little Swiffer things. I only needed it for one room in our house, and I was not about to spend $15 on it. And so we prayed for it. And then Jack from the back of the thrift store starts screaming, Mommy, there's a Swiffer. We prayed for this. God heard our prayer. And it was so sweet. And of course, all the old ladies that worked there started, you know, just swooning over it. And it was very sweet, but it was really cool. It's a cool way to show your kids God's provision too, if you include them in those prayers before thrifting.
Jared just said to the boys the other day, don't ever be too proud to be a junker. And what he meant by that is we've always, our entire marriage, thrifted, yard sale, Facebook marketplace. Like whenever we want something, our first impulse isn't to just go buy it, but it's always to pray and wait and search for it. So yeah, we've definitely seen God's hand in provision through yard sales many, many times in our life. So that's really cool. That's a good hobby. I feel like that's all one of our hobbies. Like I said, I have sewn. I learned to sew whenever I was probably 16 years old from a friend's mom. She was an upholsterer, and my friend and I decided that we were going to start making purses and dresses and things to try to sell at craft fairs and music festivals and stuff. So we learned to sew. She taught us the basic stuff, and we just started making a ton of stuff and then traveling around to music festivals and setting up a booth and selling things. And it was super fun way to spend some high school summers. And then once Jared and I got married, I did alterations for some dress and tuxedo shops and stuff like that, and tried to get better at doing more professional alterations. And that was good. And honestly, like a great job for any young girl that's needing a side hustle, learn to sew really well and do alterations, because it's great money and you are in high demand, because there's not very many people that do alterations these days. There's not many seamstresses or tailors out there. But that, like I said, that is a hobby that had to take a back burner, because it's hard to have people's very expensive wedding dresses in your house and also a toddler. It's a little nerve wracking. It's a high stress situation. You're like, don't touch it. So yeah, that I don't do alterations very often anymore, except just for friends and family who are like, can you hem this? I'm like, of course. But sewing now has become something fun that I am able to do, just making something for Pravi. Or I made her and myself Easter dresses, matching Easter dresses this year, and that was really fun. But it's something that I have to kind of force myself to make time for, or else it's not something that I do very often. But I do really like it. My mom taught me she's tried to teach me many times how to crochet, and it has never taken. And then Vicky, a lady at our church, did a Titus II class on crocheting also, and she taught us how to crochet a washcloth. And that didn't fully take either. But then last winter, for some reason, it just kind of clicked for me, and I started making a bunch of toboggans for my kids. Do you call those toboggans? A hat? A winter hat?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. You do? Okay. Hats, toboggans, beanies, whatever. I started making those, and I made a bunch of those last winter. So I like crocheting, and my mom just taught me over the weekend how to knit. So I'm very excited about that. I'm learning the whole knitting and purling situation and how to hold the needles and just how to do the stitches right now. That's as far as I am with knitting. But handcrafts like that, like knitting, crocheting, embroidering, are much easier hobbies to do with little kids because you can sit and watch them playing and just have all the tools that you need on your lap and still be attentive. And it doesn't matter if they come and touch your yarn, you know, like that's not a big problem. So, and it's not dangerous for them to be around. You're not worried that they're going to put their finger under your needle. Or like this morning when I was altering something for myself, Robbie came and like stood on my foot pedal. I was like, no. You're going to sew through my fingers. So I like finding hobbies that are like handcrafts for this season of my life. Do you guys do any of the knitting, crocheting, embroidering? Becky, I know you do. Kate, do you do any of that kind of stuff?
Not so much. I've tried it all, but I've never been able, it's not clicked for me. So what I started doing instead was making felt food for
Oh,
older.
yes.
Yeah,
Those are so
so
cute.
I've taken a bit of a break. I had orders like last fall, last winter, but they do take, they're kind of time consuming because it's all hand stitched. I cut it all out and they're fun, but I just don't have the time right now. So I made Audrey a couple batches of felt food and then did a few orders for other people. And then I've kind of just taken a break. But I would love to start making more again because I thought that was really fun and it's relatively easy. It took a little bit just to figure out exactly where to stitch and where to close everything up, but it wasn't too bad. I've tried everything else, but I just haven't. I think I need a project. I need something I want to embroider or something I want to knit, and I've just never really wanted to. I just need to find something that I would,
That
you know.
is a very good point. So to force myself to learn to crochet, I decided that I was going to make a baby blanket for my first grandchild. So I have a baby blanket that I have been working on, and I in my mind determined that that's who and what this is for. And it was like a good thing that I don't feel in a hurry to get it done. It's not like something unrealistic that I can't finish, hopefully before I have a grandchild. But it also had meaning attached to it to force me to keep going with it. So yeah, that's totally true. Like if you're wanting to learn how to do something, have it in your mind that you're going to do it for something or for someone. Or like if you know someone that's going to have a baby, determine in your mind, I'm going to sew some headbands for this baby or whatever. It's good to keep you going.
Yeah, knitting was not my forte. I did one project. It took me 3 years. It was terrible, and I
What
didn't
was
finish
it?
it. It was a blanket, which I shouldn't have started with a blanket. That was way too not
Ambitious.
to
Even
put on
on
a started crochet
washcloth.
with a blanket, but it was not for a baby, and it did not it yeah, it wasn't good. It was sanctifying, but it wasn't good. But then I picked up crochet last year from Miss Vicky when she taught that at church, and I really liked that. I like those single hook rather than the two different needles going at the same time. And for some reason, the crochet stitches make so much more sense to my brain than the knitting stitches. And last year, after I had surgery, I got really stir crazy. I'm not a just sit around kind of person. So everybody that I know got washcloths for Christmas. And I just sat and just crocheted washcloths for everybody. And then it was so funny because for Christmas, the kids, they always pick out stocking stuffers for me. And then, well, Brandon always does my stocking stuffers, but he took the kids with him this last year. And they each picked out yarn because they were like, what does mommy like? And they're like, yarn. That's all I've been doing. Embroidery, though, if you want to get into that, I agree with having a project. So actually, my very first embroidery project was that hoop I made for Pravi.
Oh, I love it.
Because I found out you're having a girl, and I saw that one, and it reminded me of the colors that you were going to have in her room. And I was like, oh, I got to do this one. This would be perfect.
It's
And
still in
that
her room.
really did motivate me to learn how to embroider and how to do it well. And so I would practice the stitches on a different piece and then go to that project. And that one was easy too, because they had the lines already drawn. I can't draw very well, but if they already have the lines drawn, I can follow a pattern. So I liked that.
Hot tip for embroidery, if you are doing like a small hoop project like that, if you want to, if you can't draw very well, if you can't sketch like out of your mind or whatever, you can pull up a picture on your phone and put a thin piece of fabric over your phone and it becomes a tracing device.
That's a good idea.
Or if you have a projector, obviously, if you're doing something bigger.
That's a really good idea.
Or a computer screen, that works too.
One skill that I have learned, actually, when I think was it you and Lexi that recorded one? It was back in like 2020, 2021. I think you guys did an episode on gardening. And I was always super hesitant to garden because I couldn't keep indoor plants alive. But indoor and outdoor plants are two different things. And for some reason, the indoor ones are still a challenge for me, but the outdoor ones have become something I really, really enjoy. And the way I started with some herbs just on my patio. Because at the time we were in an apartment, couldn't put anything in the ground. So I started with some herbs, and then I think I got like a cherry tomato plant from you, Jordan.
And also a weed. I also gave you a weed.
You did. And I was very faithful to take care of that weed all summer. And then I thought, why is this not producing anything? So I used a plant app on my phone to scan it. And it was, I forget what kind of weed it was, but it was funny. I was like, well, this is actually never going to produce anything. And I need to stop nurturing this so faithfully. But start with herbs or flowers too. Flowers are super fun to plant. Mm-hmm. I've really enjoyed planting. This year I have zinnias, cosmos, and then a bunch of wildflowers. Like we've got some black-eyed Susans, some dianthus came up this year. And what's fun about flowers is if you pick mixes that have perennials in it, part of the fun of gardening for me is forgetting what's in that area. And then when all of a sudden they just come to bloom in the spring, you're like, oh, I forgot we had these here. And
well, and a lot of wildflowers will reseed themselves. So even if they're not perennial, they will drop their own seeds and you'll get some surprises next year.
Yeah.
And they're easy to save the seeds off a lot of them too.
Oh, yeah. What were some of the other ones? I did one, zinnias, cosmos. There was one that I did, calendula. I grew calendula and that was really easy to grow. But I love having cut flowers in the house. This year I have some yarrow too that the flowers are super pretty. But and if you need greenery for your plants, I think this was Catherine from Sunny Hill Farm talked about using just other herbs and stuff in your garden. So this year I've started using mint in some of my flower arrangements, and that's fun. And it stays good for a long time, super easy to grow. But if you're just getting into gardening, start with herbs, then go to flowers. Fruit bushes are pretty easy too. And then kind of go into veggies. And because sometimes if you just go straight into veggies, it can be really discouraging because I feel like those have a harder learning curve to them than herbs and flowers do. So if you just want to see something bloom from the fruit of your hands, do herbs and flowers first and then do veggies. Also, I learned that starting a spring garden is much more fun than a summer garden. I still summer garden just in hopes that we're going to get good produce, but our setup for it is not the best. We have a super shady backyard, but the spring garden, you don't have nearly as many pests. It's super cool. So it's not sweltering hot and it's just really enjoyable. And it's a really easy hobby to have with kids because the kids can help be a part of everything and they can learn so much from gardening, from the bugs that are in it to the pollinators it attracts to how seeds grow, how to harvest. You can learn how to can, you can learn how to just preserve your harvest through freezing. You can learn how to make homemade jam from your fruit bushes. Like this year, I'm going to make a bunch of blackberry jam because we got pounds and pounds and pounds of blackberries this year. So I feel like gardening just opens so many different avenues for other hobbies too. Like you can get into floral arranging and you can dry your own herbs. And, you know, I feel like there's so many other things you can do with gardening. So that's probably one of my favorite hobbies.
Yeah. This year, I've been spending early mornings in the garden, just every morning going out there and either pulling a couple weeds or picking a couple cucumbers or whatever. And it's just been really enjoyable just to go out there early in the morning when the sun's first coming up. There's something very magical about it. I was telling a friend the other day, this is the first year that we've seen a lot of productivity from the things that we've planted like 5 years ago, like our fruit trees and our bushes and things like that. We have two trees full of peaches right now, a tree full of pears, lots of blackberries, and just a lot of things that we did in previous years. This is the first year that we've seen like a big leap in production. And I told her it's so cool sticking with something long enough to see it bear fruit. And in years past, we've had a couple things here and there, you know, like maybe we had a few peaches that didn't quite make it to ripeness before the raccoons got them. But like this year we have two trees that are just like weighed down with the amount of peaches that are on them. And it's so exciting just to grow roots somewhere long enough to see your work pay off. And it's like, wow, it's amazing. And I was reflecting, how amazing eternity in Eden is going to be. If gardening can be this magical on Earth, seeing blackberries come to fruition, like seeing bushes be planted and then the berries grow, and how cool and magical and just amazing that can be in the early morning with dew still on the plants and it's cool in the air and you get to pick a fresh blackberry, and just that's magic and I love it. Mm-hmm. And how incredible eternity is going to be on a not cursed ground without thorns and thistles. It's going to be incredible. And I'm thankful that God allows creation to be this cool right now. Like, it's such a gift and such grace that we get to do things like garden.
Yeah, absolutely.
And yes, I will also be doing blackberry jam because I have lots of blackberries. Miss Vicky from our church gave us both, I think, the thornless blackberry starts. Yes. And this year they are like crazy, crazy producing. And we have a bunch of wild blackberries too, that we found out that the wild blackberries, although smaller, are actually sweeter. We were doing taste comparisons yesterday. Yeah.
My kids like, we have one thorny bush that was given to us as a housewarming present when we first moved in, 4 years ago? And the berries from that are actually sweeter for us than the thornless ones that we have planted.
Mm-hmm.
But the thornless ones are far easier to pick from.
Yes. And
you don't even like going near the thorns.
They're like the size of your thumb. They're huge. Maybe bigger than my personal thumb, but they're large berries.
Yeah. It's fun though. And it's fun to get to spend those early morning hours or minutes or however long you're out there with the kids too. It's just a fun place. The kids like to have their little kid lattes out in the garden with me. I take my coffee out and we just go for a garden walk in the morning and pick flowers and whatever herbs and things we have coming in. And it's really fun. We got to pick some of our carrots today and we had one that was just massive and it was so fun. It's just
It's very exciting. It's so cool to see a seed go in the ground and then make something you can eat. Magic.
My favorite thing to plant is potatoes. And the kids love them too because they're like a treasure hunt. And they're just digging for gold. It's so much fun.
Yeah, we did that this year too. And we're like, we got another treasure. Put it in the pile. Yeah, it's super exciting.
Two resources for that too. If anybody is wanting to get into gardening, we found Epic Gardening on YouTube. He has a channel. I think he is based out of California, but he has a lot of just really short gardening tips and videos and tricks and stuff. And I like his stuff. And then a lot of the things that I've learned have been from a lady called Jill McSheehy. I don't know if you guys have heard of her. She has an Instagram called The Beginner's Garden. She has a podcast called The Beginner's Garden. And then she has a book and a blog that all go with it. So she's a really good resource if you get, you know, squash bugs or you don't know how to grow peas or things like that. She has all kinds of stuff. And she's a believer too. So I like her. I like her perspective on things, and she's just a really helpful resource. So
that's cool. I just planted some green beans and sugar snap peas a few weeks ago. So that's I'm trying to keep things going in the garden because we did have potatoes and onions, and then my cucumbers and watermelon and stuff are growing on the side. But then once I harvested potatoes and onions and now I have room, I'm like, okay, now let's do something else. And so I'm going to try to keep the garden going as long as possible into the fall this year.
Yeah, you can plant a lot. If you plant carrots and stuff, I know this one's not all about gardening, but if you plant carrots towards the end of the summer, you can actually, or even early fall, you can actually overwinter them and store them in your garden.
Yes, just leave them in the ground. That's what Margo does. She just leaves hers in the ground until she's ready to eat them. So like if she wants some carrots for supper that night, she'll just go and dig a few out of the garden and just leave the rest in the garden. So honestly, like once your garden's done, you could just plant it full of carrots and then just leave them.
Yeah, you can do beets that way too, I think. There's a couple things you can do that way, but yeah.
It's cool. You're having an epic garden this year.
Yeah, we did. We kind of did like a fast and furious situation. Ben got it all in early because what we found the last 2 years of gardening is that we have full sun in our yard. There's like zero shade anywhere. So by the time it gets to like mid-July, we are like dying in the heat unless you get out there really early or late in the day. And we don't have a fence or anything. And with a three-year-old, it's tricky because I can't spend hours out there without like, you know, she's going to go off in the woods and like come back with a bunch of ticks and like a dead raccoon or something. So this year especially was a little tricky. So we and we kind of been anticipated that, and he has a bunch of trips he's got to go on for work. So anyway, we just actually wrapped up our garden. We've got some zucchini plants still out there, but he got all the potatoes out a couple days ago, and the last year three, I've canned them, and that way we have them for, like, we eat a few meals like with potatoes, or I do things with the fresh ones, but then I can the rest of them, and that way we have them for stews and roasts and soups throughout the winter, because we just were ending up with a lot that were going bad the first year, because I just couldn't, like, yeah. We were just having so many meals with potatoes, you know. Mm-hmm. And he digs them up all at the same time. And so
what I did with mine this year, I'm sorry. What I did with mine this year was made a ton of French fries with my French fry cutter. I have like a French fry thing. You put the whole potato in and do this, push down, and French fries pop out the end, you know. And I flash froze them on a flat cookie sheet and then put them all in Ziploc bags, like gallon Ziploc bags, so that we have, you know, fries for easy meals.
That's smart.
Good idea. I need to get a French fry cutter.
Or you can borrow mine if you come into abundance of potatoes one day.
I also need to get one of those sandwich cutters that makes the seals the ends.
Oh, the peanut butter and jelly things. Yeah. Again, or you can borrow mine. That's what Becky did.
Yeah.
Multiple times.
One thing I love about gardening is that it's different for every person. So
yeah,
like
very.
We all plant potatoes. We're all like, well, this method of preserving works better for our family.
Yeah.
Or, you know, if you're in a place where you really can't do a garden, you can still can stuff, you know?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I follow somebody on Instagram and they live in the city. So they don't really have, she has some herbs, but they don't have any space really to garden, and she just drives out into like the suburbs, goes to I think it was a strawberry farm, and then she cans or makes jam and like cans them and does a bunch of different things with the straw, like freezes them, cuts them up for smoothies and things like that. And Becky and I did that, and I think you did too last year, 2 years ago, went
with
to the Lawsons and got a bunch of strawberries.
Yes. Yeah.
And Becky and I made jam last year, and that was really nice to just have fresh, you know, jam. So just an encouragement, if you're in a spot where you feel like you can't garden, you can still, if you want to, you can still go get whatever produce you want and, you know, preserve it.
And at our farmer's market, you can get a box of tomatoes, like canning tomatoes, for example, and it'll be cheap, kind of overripe tomatoes that are marked down just to get rid of and for canning. And you can talk to the local farmers and just say, hey, I'm wanting to can stuff, so can you give me anything that's overripe and you don't want to sell it like per pound at the market, but you'd be willing to get rid of it just for canning. And a lot of times they'll do that.
So I've done that at the Carmdale Farmers Market. And if you ask for peaches or apples, if you ask for seconds, did you have any seconds, like things that have gotten bruised or honestly, the bruises actually end up being sweet. It releases. Mm-hmm. Now you have to be ready to do them like that day. You can't really let those sit on your counter. But I've gone up to vendors before, like you said, Jordan, just said, hey, do you have any peach seconds? Mm-hmm. Because I want to make some jam today. And they're like, oh, yeah, it's like $10 a box, where you'd be paying way more for like fresh ones that are perfect.
Perfect.
Or for like eating or slicing or something.
Mm-hmm. And Becky, did we make what did we make that one time? Apple butter?
Apple butter.
Yeah.
Apple butter is good. What alcohol did we put in it? We put something in it.
Bourbon.
Out of the freezer. Was it bourbon?
Yeah. It was really good. But yeah, apples are one of those things. It's like, there's a lot of people that have just a random apple tree in the yard that they don't do anything with. You can knock on the door and be like, do you want your apples? Because if not, I'll come pick them for you.
Yeah.
And then you can make lots. I make lots of applesauce and stick. I'm a big proponent of having a extra freezer that you can just preserve lots of things in the freezer. I find it much easier than pressure canning things. There's certain things that I will like water bath can, but I don't do a lot of pressure canning really. I do a lot of freezing. I make a lot of pickles. We're a big pickle family, so I do a lot of pickles, but that's not pressure canning either.
Do you do those in a water bath?
No, actually, those, we go through them really quickly. So what I do with those, it's just a situation where you pour the hot. See, I hate to even say this because it's really probably not the best. It's probably not accurate. Like, if this is probably, no one get botulism, botulism because of me, okay? But you make your vinegar and canning salt solution, you warm it up, and then you pour it over your cucumbers and what you put in the jar. It's like you stuff it full of cucumbers, you put a couple sprigs of fresh dill, 1/4 teaspoon of pepper, and 2 garlic cloves, and you stuff that in your wide, I use wide mouth jars because you can fit them in better, and then you pour it's a combination of white vinegar and canning salt. And you pour that hot over the liquid, then put your jars on. And then I just keep those all in my outside fridge. So, I mean, the jars are sealed, but you don't really want to water bath can them or pressure can them because it takes the crunch out of the cucumbers. So, like, I would never sell these to anyone or anything. That's just what we do. And then we go through them really quickly in the fridge.
Do you ever test for botulism? Do you have, like, the little test strips or anything? Or do you just say...
I have pH strips that I have used before whenever I was curious about some tomatoes that I had canned and the method that I used for canning them, and I use pH strips. So, okay. But that was just to see if the pH was high enough.
Can you smell the botulism? Every time I open a jar of canned potatoes, obviously if the lid wasn't sealed, I would just chuck it. But every time I think, like, how would I know if I'm about to kill my whole family?
You know, I think it's a lot rarer than everyone thinks it is. Okay. If your jar, your jar is not, if the seal has not broken, if there's no foul odors, if it's not, like, bulging at the top or anything like that, then I would assume that it's okay if you eat it within the correct amount of time. But I understand, though, that it is a concerning thing. And I'm not 100% confident in my methods. And there's, honestly, with canning, there is so many different methods and so many, like, rebel canners out there that, like, do all kinds of different things. But I use the Blues Ball canning book and kind of go by what they say to do. And then I just trust the Lord from there.
Yeah.
I think it's Stonewall Jackson. It's like, I'm as confident on the battlefield as I am in my bed because God knows when I'm going to die. And it's like,
yeah,
all right, me and Stonewall Jackson eating this jar of canned pickles, hoping for the best. If he's going to take me out with botulism, he's going to take me out.
I mean, at least you'd go out eating pickles.
Yeah, eat your pickles with confidence.
What a nice entrance into glory.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good pickle, but...
Pickles in the kitchen and then just worshiping around the throne.
Yeah, my brother wants me to start a pickle empire because he really likes my pickles. He's like, just, you can do it. Just sell these pickles. And I'm like, I would not be confident to any kind of food service for anyone else just because I'm scared someone would get sick and then I'd be in all kinds of trouble and feel awful about it. Honestly, my biggest hobby in this season of my life, I really didn't consider this a hobby until I started thinking about it, but I'm like, reading. Reading is my biggest hobby. That is, like, my most beloved hobby.
I'm too.
Yeah,
me too.
I just love reading and I love a good book and it's such a treat to me. And this summer has been wonderful because we're not schooling this summer. So I've read so much and it's been amazing. And one thing we do when our kids learn how to read, it's like this big rite of passage for them. Once they have learned how to read well by themselves, they get to stay up a little bit later and they get their own book light. So it's a big glorious thing in the Sparks family when you get to stay up for silent reading time. So we do at a certain time at night, we all come together as a family. We sit on the couch, we get cozy, we get our books and it's silent reading time. And we do that for like 45 minutes or an hour before bed. And it's my favorite part of the day. Pravi usually cuddles up on me and falls asleep. She and I are reading Heidi right now, like an abridged classic version of Heidi.
June and I are getting ready to start hers.
Okay.
We just got the Great Illustrated Classic version, and she's been begging me to start it. So I told her we'd start either tonight or tomorrow.
Yeah. So we're reading that right now. Hey, we should get together and watch the movie after we're done.
Yes. How far are you?
A few chapters in, maybe like chapter 4 or 5.
Okay. We'll start tonight. We'll catch up.
Okay. Yeah. And we don't do it every single night. I don't read it out loud to her every single night. But so I read out loud to her for a chapter. And then the rest of the time, she either just lays on me and falls asleep or like messes around with her own book and looks at it and stuff. And the boys read and Jared reads and I read my book. And it's just the coziest, sweetest time of our day. And I love it. Sometimes there's hot tea involved. But yeah, reading is my very favorite hobby. I love it so much.
I've always enjoyed reading, but I've always, and I think I've talked about this on here before, but I have always read for practicality. I'm going to read to learn. I'm going to read to gain a skill. I'm going to read to find out more information about something, that kind of thing. And over the course of the last couple of years, I've started reading to just enjoy it. And I've learned that that is actually productive as a mom and as a homemaker. And it's good to have an active imagination. And it really does actually help in motherhood.
Yeah.
You can come up, like, if you're reading stories all the time, you can become a good storyteller to your kids, and you can be more creative with them. And I don't know, it does so much for your brain. But getting into reading was tricky for me because I didn't know what kind of fiction books I would like, because I always said I don't like fiction. But what I heard from you included, Jordan, you and my sister Kathy were like, you haven't met the right books yet. You have not met the right books. You have not found the right genres. If you don't like fiction, it's not that you don't like all fiction. It's that you don't like the ones that you have found. And so there's a couple. Read Aloud Revival is really fun. That one's really fun for kid books too. Blossoming Through Books has an Instagram. Remedy Storytime has an Instagram. And then I've also recently discovered Goodreads too, which I'm sure I'm way late to the game on. But
this is the first, I've had Goodreads in the past, but this is the first year that I'm trying to more actively put my books into it and stuff.
Really? Are
yeah.
you on?
Yeah.
Okay, I need to find you because right now I'm only following my sister. So, but Kathy and I have, we have slightly different tastes in some areas, but a lot of our tastes are very similar. And so I can see everything that she's read. And so if I'm looking for good book recommendations, I can go on there or some of those other little, I think they're called like Bookstagrams, where you can find different book recommendations. But
I can't wait for our books episode at the end of the year. I can't wait to talk about all the books we've read at the end of the year. So nobody spoil it. We're going to, at the end of the year, talk about all the books we've read this year. But yeah, that's like my favorite episode of the entire year.
I'm reading a really good one right now, but I
so am I.
And I think I know what one
won't
you're reading.
Tell you. Nope, not that one. No. I have it though. It came in from the library. But no, I'm reading. I'm finishing another one that was my in between, waiting for it to come in from the library.
Okay. Well,
if it's the one that I'm thinking of, we're all going to talk about the same.
I know. It's so good.
We're going to need to let Rhi in and be like, hey, you need to read this.
You have to read it.
Talk about it with us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you? Are you done with the whole series, Kate?
No, I'm on number two because I had to emotionally recover after the first. It was so good. But
okay. I'm like, wait a minute. It wasn't that.
I was in tears because I was so glad, you know?
So good.
And then I tried to go in directly into the second, and I just could not.
You need a minute.
I needed a moment before jumping into a different plot. So,
okay.
Yeah.
I have book five waiting. Well, it's not actually at the library yet, but it is. I put it on hold and it should be in this week. So I have another one that I'm filling the gap in with right now. But but from someone who did not like fiction at all, I liked kids fiction, but I did not like grown up fiction and saw it as frivolous and not important. And I have made a complete 180 on that in the last couple of years. So if you not camp, just find the right books.
I'm the opposite of Becky. I will grab a fiction book 10 out of 10 times because I love fiction so much, and I have to force myself to read too for education and stuff like that. But honestly, I'm not that type of learner. I'm not the type of learner that does best with just reading. I read Christian application books and that kind of stuff, but if I was like going to learn to knit, my thought would never be I'm going to pick up a book on knitting. I would find someone to show me because I'm a very visual learner, like hands-on learning. So maybe that's part of the reason why I've not gravitated towards books on learning and stuff like that. But I don't know. I've read a lot of books that have been educational in some way or another. But yeah, I want a good fiction book.
A couple of things so Ben and I talked a lot this year about reading because he recently discovered a love of reading.
Oh, fun.
At 32 years old. Yes.
Yeah.
And so it's never too late. But he just didn't enjoy, like you, Becky, he hadn't found what he enjoyed reading. And for him, he loves learning. He went down quite a few different trails, I guess, in the last few years where he wanted to learn more about different things. And so the main way that he did that was through reading. And I have never had a problem wanting to read and just reading constantly. And it's more of a, like, it's hard for me to set a book down and actually do other things. And so I think a lot of that goes into, or a lot of that comes from how I was raised. And we were a very book-centered family. And my parents were both readers. And so my brother and I both read. And my parents read books with us. They would do, you know, they read a lot to us. But also, I remember in middle school when we would be reading different series and my dad or mom or both would just go out and also get a copy. so they could read along with us and chat about it and do whatever, you know, chat about whatever magical thing was happening in the book. Or, and so they just were very interested in what we were. I mean, obviously, because you have to screen things your kids are reading anyway, but they were genuinely interested in what's the word? Not uniting in, I can't think of the word, just joining us in whatever magical world of fiction we were in, I guess.
That's
so Christmas, we were always given books and our parents would gift each other books. And so after all the presents were open, we would spend hours with coffee when we were older or hot chocolate when we were younger, reading silently in the same room. And it was the most, it's just the most magical thing. And so we're trying to cultivate that in our own family. And so far, Audrey loves books, but it's just, it's so fun. We make such a big deal out of like going to pick out books at the thrift store. And I don't know, it's just such a fun hobby to share with the people in your house.
Yeah. So, you know how it's like a big thing, don't let your kids read twaddle, you know, like the Charlotte Mason term twaddle. So I don't know, twaddle can mean a lot of different things to a lot of different people probably, but I do not ascribe to this phrase, don't let your kids read twaddle, because I'm a person that learned to love to read reading twaddle, like reading dumb books that were ridiculous. And I never liked to read until I was probably like 18 years old and read the Twilight series. I have no shame. That's what made me love to read. I would not recommend the series, everyone, but I didn't ever like to read until for some reason I read Twilight. I have no idea why, because it was like the hugest thing that happened to literature in 2005, you know, but made me realize that I really enjoyed getting into a story and like not being able to stop reading something and just reading a page turner and how fun that was. And thankfully, I like grew out of the Twilight season of my life. Everyone, I graduated from it. But I'm not saying let your kids read stupid, bad in that way books. But like if your kid wants to read a series that is like not a classical book or something, and it would just be a fun book from the library to read that you know is safe. I'm not saying don't give them something that you know is not safe, but I'm saying like let them read fun, pointless things, because it sometimes sparks that I love to read feeling, and you have to find the right book for that to happen.
Yeah.
Like, I keep thinking about two series I read early, probably early elementary, Boxcar Children. Did you guys ever read the Boxcar Children?
I didn't read till I was 18.
Beyond excited to bust out all my Boxcar Children books. If Audrey would sit still, she would be reading them right now.
Yeah.
Wow. And I almost want to reread them because it was such, I think that was the first series that hooked me, mm-hmm. and so good. And I remember reading like Magic Treehouse and things like that.
Yeah.
And as a kid, there's just, I mean, obviously those are, I think, if I remember correctly, pretty safe series for kids.
Yeah.
And every family will have their own level of like what they, you know, is if like we were not a Harry Potter household. And then I read it as an adult and I absolutely despised it because I just, there was just too, I just didn't like it because I hadn't grown up with it. And some houses will, you know, it's just obviously up to every family.
Yeah.
And the kids, like, I just have never enjoyed that kind of book. But other kids absolutely love it. That's what hooked them as like a fifth, sixth grader. And so, yeah, just encouraging your kids and walking alongside them to try to find what they enjoy or what you enjoy.
Yeah. Yeah, but don't give up if you feel like you don't like to read. You just haven't found the right book yet. And the same with your kids. Like, just continuing to encourage them and give them more and more and more books until it hits, until and it hooks them.
Sorry. Audiobooks, I think, count as reading.
Oh, yeah.
There's a big debate in the book world, but I'm like, if you're, first of all, if you're a mom and you're just probably not going to get a lot of reading done all the time, if you can't, you know, there's seasons where I have to do audiobook because I, you know, can't do a physical book or what have you. So
I usually have multiple books going at the same time. I'll have like physical copy book that I'm reading that I don't listen to audiobook. That's just my physical copy book. But then I'll also have like a longer, I usually do like longer classical stuff that I want to have read, but don't always get the time to read. And sometimes I'll listen to that more.
One thing we do with the kids too is we do a lot of longer drives. Our family all lives, you know, good distances. And we'll do audiobooks in the car with them and we'll listen to them all together. Sometimes they'll listen to them on like their little playaways, or We have like little CD players for them so they can get little audiobooks and stuff from the library that way. But some of them, there's a bunch of audiobooks on Spotify and a bunch of really good kids audiobooks on there. And so we listen to, we've blazed through a lot of books that way together. And it's been really fun. It's we've really enjoyed that.
Yeah.
And one thing too, during the school year, I don't know what it is about lunchtime, but lunchtime is can turn into chaos. I think it's probably because we've been doing school and we've just had a busy morning, and then people are just up and down and up and down and up and down, not actually eating, but it's also right before rest time, you know. So one thing we did last year that worked really well is when it came time for lunch, I would put an audiobook on our Bluetooth speaker in the kitchen, and we would just listen to an audiobook while we ate lunch. And that was actually super sweet. We listened to most of the Winnie the Pooh series that way.
Aww.
And we found one with like the narrator was a British guy, and it was just really sweet. We really enjoyed that. So
was that one on Spotify?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. The Winnie the Pooh series was, but yeah, I like audiobooks for the kids too, because I feel like they can get through some of those. They get the imagination part and stuff from some chapter books, even though they're 4 and 6, or at the time 3 and 5, they can still, you'd be surprised at how much they can actually listen to and absorb. And
absolutely.
How much of the plot that they can listen to. Because for a while I thought, oh, I'll wait until they're older to read them chapter books. They can't read them themselves, therefore I'm not going to read them to them. And I was wrong. Like they even at 3 years old, they can follow a plot. We paused for a little bit just because life got crazy, but we're reading through the Wing Feather Saga in the evening with the kids. And Jordan, I know, we're plodding through.
No, that's fine. It's just that we love that series so much. I read all those books out loud to the kids. And at the last book, we're just all bawling our eyes out. Just prepare yourself.
Oh, man. Yeah.
It's Brandon, so good, though.
Brandon is reading that to the kids after dinner and baths and stuff. Brandon's been reading that to the kids a chapter at a time. And it's really sweet. And again, June's 4 and she's loving it, you know, even though the age for that book is higher. So,
yeah. Yeah. We're in Redwall now. We finished the Wing Feather Saga and now we're in Redwall, and even Pravi is very into it. And there's a show on Canon Plus of Redwall that we like too.
Oh, fun.
Yeah.
Any other skills?
Skills or hobbies?
Or either.
I don't know if it's a skill, but I definitely, I feel like sourdough has become a hobby. Baking has become a hobby. Just cooking in general has definitely become a hobby. I do it so often that I now find it fun to try to do different things and try to figure out the best way to plan things and prep things. And I find that fun now. So I think things that you have to do a lot like that in motherhood can either be monotonous or they can be interesting to you. So it's better to be interested in how to do a good job at the laundry rather than be begrudging it and just to find beauty.
Stain remove.
Yes, like to find beauty in all the different things that you have to do. So if you have to cook 3 meals a day, then you might as well find beauty and enjoyment in the cooking that you have to do.
Yeah.
And ChatGPT has been amazing for recipes. So I'm like new to chat. I'm not techie. Everyone knows I'm not techie. But my sister-in-law has been telling me about it's really great for like recipe development. So I have been using it to develop some different recipes and tweak different recipes. And it's been very cool and helpful. And I've done a lot of different. Jared's always telling me like it's decreasing the gray matter in my brain when I use it. But I'm like, actually, I'm learning a lot. So I think if I was using it to like write papers for me, it would definitely be making me dumber. But it's been making me smarter because I'm learning so much.
That's funny. Yeah, I don't know. I know how I feel about AI, but I have not thought about using something like that for recipes because I'm very knee jerk. Absolutely not.
Yeah.
Ever in our home. I don't even like using Siri. It freaks me out.
Yeah.
I don't like the fact that our phones listen to us, you know, that kind of stuff. So Brandon is very much the techie half of our union. Like he loves everything techie. He's like, it's, you know, he knows what to worry about, what not to worry about. Yeah. I just like to stay away from all things in that category for the most part. But other than, I mean, the techie part of like designing templates and things like that, obviously I love that.
You're good at that.
I like that part, but other than that, I don't want anything to do with AI. But
yeah, I've been telling Usually I'm like, you know, our grandmothers probably felt like the washing machine was making them weaker, and they were probably right about that, you know? So yes, the washing machine has been convenient, but I bet our arms are not as strong as our great-great-grandmothers. So, you know, you win some, you lose some.
Pretty sure they didn't have to do dumbbell workouts to maintain
No,
their
no.
muscle mass and bone density.
No. So I'm sure AI and ChatGPT is somehow decreasing my brain matter, but it's very convenient right now.
That's why you read. It balances out.
Yeah, it's balanced. And now I know a really good lemon sourdough cookie recipe.
I think one skill that I've tried to grow in, or hobby, I don't know if I would put this as a skill. I wouldn't put this as a hobby, but learning natural remedies.
Yeah.
Has been something the last few years that I've tried to grow in. I asked Brandon today, I was like, my brain's tired.
What are my hobbies?
I do. But, you know, he's like, you're really good at, how did he word it? Like maintaining simplicity. I was like, I don't know if that's a skill or a hobby. He's like, well, it really is an art form to learn how to, like you were saying earlier, Kate, not hoard, how to declutter frequently, how to keep what's needed, pass on what's not. Like just that act of managing physical stuff in the home is an area where I think a lot of people can just say, ah, well, I don't like, that's not necessary, it's not needed, but it really can add a lot of peace to your home, value to your home, not like monetary, not like money value, but just like value to your life in general. If you can grow in how to maintain simplicity in your home, declutter, organize, keep things clean, like that kind of thing. So those were which I'm sure is shocking to you, but those are the things that Brandon was like, you're really good at this.
You are good at those.
Like those are your skills and hobbies, but it sounds super nerdy to say organizing is my hobby, but it really is in a lot of parts. It's just something I enjoy and something
I enjoy things being organized. I don't enjoy the process of making them organized. That's why I have to have you help me.
That's why I'm here.
Hold my hand.
Keep me company. Yeah. I enjoy that though.
This is a little random and I don't know if it's really a hobby necessarily, but I was thinking about things that I really enjoy, and hosting is one of them.
Oh yeah.
That's awesome. Kate.
I don't know if I would consider it a hobby because I don't do it constantly, but it almost, I mean, I feel like I do it a lot and it's something I really enjoy, but something I've had to get better at. As just there are more moving parts with little people. And also hosting has changed a lot over the last few years because we have so many kids that come into our home as well. And so I've learned a lot, like a lot of trial and error, a lot of making mental notes of this didn't work, I need to change this. And then also a lot of...
Yeah, I need to speak first.
Okay.
I got a new van.
Good. What color is it?
It's white.
Oh, that sounds great. I can't wait to see it.
Yes.
Audrey woke up from her nap, everyone.
She did. She has joined the conversation. I said, you can go play with your toys if you want, or read a book. And she said, I need to listen to your podcast for a moment.
I like it that she said, I need to speak for a second.
Yes. And when I was muted a moment ago, and she said, wow, Jordan has a lot of books. You have a whole library behind you.
The background right now is Jared's office, so there's a lot of books behind me.
Yeah, I got my van from a guy, and so
yes,
we got left at one.
We did, yes. This is fresh on our mind. We just got a van today.
Oh,
and
congratulations.
We got rid of my Jeep, and now we have so much space. We're very excited.
That's so cool.
And we had it on it, and we got a new.
Oh, well, praise God. That is so cool.
It was a huge... I'll have to tell you guys a story later because it was very much a God's provision kind of thing.
That's cool.
Yeah, God will love it.
God definitely loves it.
Yeah. God will love it. God will love it when he sees it.
Okay, I'm going to finish talking.
All right.
Just a second, okay?
I think that's all my hobbies anyway. I don't think... Well, I bet there's more hobbies that I have, but those are all the ones that I could think of. Do you guys have more hobbies?
You're good at jewelry making.
I am. I mean, see, this is what I do. I dabble. Bracelets. I do make bracelets. I like to make Christmas gifts for people. And so I've tried to learn to do a lot of different things in order to do that. So I have made some bracelets before.
That's a good way to learn new skills and hobbies, though, is, and especially now with it being July, now, don't think in December, what am I going to make for somebody in a week? Start mm-hmm. thinking now, what Christmas gifts do I want to give and what skills do I need in order to be able to do that, and start honing that process and figuring that all out now. But yeah.
There's a scripture in Proverbs that it's like, it's the glory of God to conceal a matter and the glory of man to search it out, or something along those lines. And God's just made such an interesting world. There's just so many interesting things around us. And I like to think about how, like, what's going on, how to do things. I find it interesting. I don't want to sit and look at my phone. I want to do something.
Yeah.
I want to make something and do something. My mom's the same way. I find so much fulfillment in making something with my hands, doing something mm-hmm. with my hands. Like, even if it's just making a wreath for the front door or making a loaf of bread, it's just very satisfying to me. I love that.
Yeah. And it's a way we can image our creator. You know, he's a creative God. He's not a lazy, sluggish God. Yeah. You know, he's creative. And so we get to image our creator in that way. And it's really cool.
It's very cool to think about just with gardening and like flowers and all the different kinds of things, the sunset, everything. It's really cool thinking about God enjoying creativity and like the fact that things could have been created in a very grayscale way, but they weren't. And how many colors there are. Like, this year, the hydrangeas at my neighbor's houses are the most brilliant blue. And it's the first year that they've been that blue. And I think it's
really
all the rain that we've had this year.
Yeah.
And it's very cool that God can do things like on years when the soil's a little different, the hydrangeas are brilliant blue.
Yeah.
It's just really cool and creative of him. Well, I think that's all I have to say about my hobbies, unless you guys have more to say about your hobbies.
Nope, that's about it.
Okay.
Hey, everyone, we want to thank you so much for listening to the Fruitful and Fearless podcast and continuing to come back. You guys have certainly been an encouragement to us, and we hope we've been an encouragement to you as well. We want to continue this work, and we need your help to do that.
If you'd head over to the Fruitful and Fearless website, it's just fruitfulandfearless.com. You can find memberships there that are different tiers that contain different benefits to you as well. If you want to just support us for the heck of it because you're enjoying the show, that's always a blessing as well. But we try to make it even more worth it for you with recipes, groups for homeschooling and cooking, baking, natural health. We try to put as many resources on there as we can. But thank you for your support. It greatly helps our family.